Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. We'll start today's podcast with a quiz. Listen carefully. Can you guess where and when the president delivered this line?
And you know, if I had a chance, I'd like to ask the Soviet leaders one question. In fact, I may stuff the question in a bottle and throw it over the wall when I go there today. I really want to hear their explanation. Why is that wall there? Why are they so afraid of freedom on this side of the wall? Well, the truth is, they're scared to death of it because they know that freedom is catching and they don't dare leave their people have a taste of it.
The answer? The place is Berlin, and the date is June 1982, 5 years before he delivered his historic speech at the Brandenburg Gate, demanding that the wall be torn down. This was during the Brezhnev years, long before Gorbachev and Glasnost were in the picture. It's easy to forget how clearly President Reagan expressed his disgust with the Soviets and the Berlin Wall many years before the so-called climax at the Brandenburg Gate in 1987. The excerpt you just heard was from the president's remarks upon his arrival in Berlin in 1982 at the airport. This was his last stop on his arduous European trip, during which he met with the Pope at the Vatican and also delivered his historic Westminster Address to the British Parliament. But he saved Berlin for the last stop and challenged the Soviet Union to move beyond the dashed hopes of the 1970s to a safer and freer Europe in years ahead. Then later in the day, to a crowd of 20,000 waving American flags in a windswept park at Charlottenburg Palace, President Reagan drew enthusiastic applause with a pledge that American military forces would remain in Berlin as long as necessary to preserve the peace and protect the freedom of the people in Berlin. The president made it clear.
For us, the American presence in Berlin, as long as it is needed, is not a burden. It is a sacred trust. Ours is a defensive mission. We pose no threat to those who live on the other side of the wall. But we do extend a challenge, a new Berlin initiative to the leaders of the Soviet bloc. It is a challenge for peace. We challenge the men in the Kremlin to join with us in the quest for peace, security, and a lowering of the tensions and weaponry that could lead to future conflict. We challenge the Soviet Union, as we proposed last year, to eliminate their SS-20, SS-4, and SS-5 missiles. If Chairman Brezhnev agrees to this, we stand ready to forego all of our ground-launched cruise missiles and Pershing 2 missiles. We challenge the Soviet Union, as NATO proposed yesterday, to slash the conventional ground forces of the Warsaw Pact and NATO in Central Europe to 700,000 men each, and the total ground and air forces of the two alliances to 900,000 men each. And we challenge the Soviet Union to live up to its signature, its leader placed on the Helsinki Treaty, so that the basic human rights of Soviet and Eastern European people will be respected. A positive response to these sincere and reasonable points from the Soviet, these calls for conciliation instead of confrontation, could open the door for a conference on disarmament in Europe.
He repeated his message that American plans for a military buildup are combined with an eagerness to negotiate with the Russians to reduce both conventional and nuclear arms. And he marked his visit to Berlin by defining all of his recent proposals for arms negotiations with the Soviet Union as a new Berlin initiative to test Soviet sincerity. In fact, he went a step further, calling on Moscow to accept a new set of concrete and practical steps demonstrating a commitment to arms control. Secretary of State Al Haig said the steps could transform Soviet-American relations into a confidence-building bilateral relationship, dispelling uncertainties in time of crisis. Still, he put the Soviets on notice regarding their military buildup. Remember, it's June 1982. Let's listen. More about this historic speech in Berlin right after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to the story. So now let's start at the top of the speech. Let's hear how our 40th president works to connect to his audience. Let's listen.
Citizens have served here since the first small contingent of American troops arrived on July 4th, 1945, the anniversary of our independence as a nation. Americans have served here ever since, not as conquerors, but as guardians of the freedom of West Berlin and its brave, proud people. Today, I want to pay tribute to my fellow countrymen, military and civilian, who served their country and the people of Berlin, and in so doing stand as symbols of freedom everywhere. I also wish to pay my personal respect to the people of this great city. My visit here today is proof that this American commitment has been worthwhile. Our freedom is indivisible.
Earlier in the day, when the president arrived at the airport, many of our armed forces stationed in Germany attended the speech. Here's what he had to say to them. Let's listen.
The huge number of Soviet tanks that rumble through the countryside, the Soviet missiles that peer over the border, they aren't there for defense. They're there to threaten the West and divide the alliance. Well, our forces and those of NATO have a different idea. Our forces have a different assignment. We don't seek to make Europe captive. We seek to keep Europe free. The people of West Germany, through their government, have time and again asked that we stand together in defense of freedom, both theirs and ours. And President Carsten's recent visit to the U.S. 2nd Armored Division was symbolic of our unity. Just as the Europeans support your presence here, I too, as President, want to support you by giving you what you need to do your job. I'm determined that you will have fair pay, new equipment, top-notch training, and the best leadership. America is honored by your service. Your job may sometimes seem routine, but believe me, it isn't. It's part of a noble cause, the defense of freedom and dignity. And you in uniform, you are the peacemakers, because you are doing what you're doing, we have a chance to preserve peace. And I promise you, that is going to be the goal as long as this administration is in Washington. You know, there have been 4 wars in my lifetime. I don't want to see another. I'm going to tell you a story about one of those wars, only because it tells the difference between 2 societies, ours and that society on the other side of the wall. It goes back to a war when a B-17 bomber was flying back across the channel, badly shot up by anti-aircraft fire. The ball turret that hung beneath the belly of the plane had taken a hit, was jammed. They couldn't get the ball turret gunner out while they were flying, and he was wounded. And out over the channel, the plane started to lose altitude. As they started, the skipper ordered bailout, and as the men started to leave the plane, the boy in the ball turret knew he was being left to go down with the plane. The last man to leave the plane saw the captain sit down on the floor and take his hand, and he said, "Never mind, son. We'll ride it down together." Congressional Medal of Honor, posthumously awarded. That citation that I read when I was serving in that same war stuck with me for many years and came back to me just a few years ago when the Soviet Union gave its highest honor, a gold medal, to a man, a Spaniard, living in Moscow. But they don't give citations. They don't tell you why. They just give him the medal. So I did some digging to find out why he was their highest honoree. Well, he had spent 8 years in Cuba before going to Moscow. And before that, he had spent 23 years in Mexico, in prison. He was the man who buried the pickaxe in the head of Leon Trotsky's head. They gave their highest honor for murder. We gave our highest honor to a man who would sacrifice his life to comfort a boy who had to die. I don't know of anything that explains the difference between the society we're trying to preserve and the society we're defending the world against than that particular story. God bless you all for what you're doing.
Following his remarks at the airport, here's how he closed his speech to 20,000 Berliners listening intently to his words.
My final message is for the people of Berlin. Even before my first visit to your city, I felt a part of you, as all free men and women around the world do. We lived through the blockade and airlift with you. We witnessed the heroic reconstruction of a devastated city, and we watched the creation of your strong democratic institutions. When I came here in 1978, I was deeply moved and proud of your success. What finer proof of what freedom can accomplish than the vibrant, prosperous island you've created in the midst of a hostile sea? Today, my reverence for your courage and accomplishment has grown even deeper. You are a constant inspiration for us all, for our hopes and ideals, and for the human qualities of courage, endurance, and faith that are the one secret weapon of the West no totalitarian regime can ever match. As long as Berlin exists, there can be no doubt about the hope for democracy. Yes, the hated wall still stands, but taller and stronger than that bleak barrier dividing East from West, free from oppressed, stands the character of the Berliners themselves. You have endured in your splendid city on the Spree, and my return visit has convinced me, in the words of the beloved old song, that Berlin bleibt doch Berlin. Berlin is still Berlin. Stirring words when he visited Berlin. I can only add that we in America and in the West are still Berliners too, and always will be. And I am proud to say today that it is good to be home again. God bless you. Don't say.
Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.